Today we are concluding the series, A Dangerous Prayer, Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, who paved the way to an eternal relationship with you. And I pray now that you would lead us in the way everlasting. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is a dangerous prayer. Now, why would we call this a dangerous prayer? A safe prayer would be a prayer that says, thank you, God, for today. Thank you for the early sunrise. Thank you for blessing me with rest. Provide for this day, Lord. Give safety in our trip. Lord, give blessing to this endeavor. These are safe prayers, and a lot of times it's us saying, thank you and give me more. Thank you and do this for me. But this is a dangerous prayer that says, here I am, Lord. I heard someone last night on a show say that there are three of us. There's our public self that we let everybody see. There's our private self that only a few people see. And then there's our secret self. And this is a prayer that says, God, I am inviting you into my secret self, into my deepest heart. Know me. And it's a dangerous prayer because we're saying, God, change me. God, change my life. God, move and lead me, and He will. And it may turn your world upside down. It may change a lot of things, but it'll be God changing you. It takes a willing and a risky heart and courage to say, Lord, lead me. Now, who is leading you? Somebody's leading you. And maybe to answer that question, you have to ask yourself, whose approval am I seeking? Is it a parent to whom you never lived up to expectations or perceived expectations? Is it to prove yourself to someone who rejected you in your life? Is it to seek the approval of your peers or the approval of the world? Who is leading you? In 1 Kings 17, Elijah confronts King Ahab and says, you have ceased allowing the Lord God to lead you and this nation. And you have turned over leadership to these false gods of Baal and Asherah. And he says, because you have turned away from God, a famine is coming on the land, there's going to be a drought, and you're going to suffer for a little while. And then Elijah leaves and he goes and hides east of the Jordan River next to a brook where he drinks from the brook, and he has God sends ravens to send him food morning and night. And he stays there until the brook dries up. Now this precedes chapter 18 when Elijah comes out of hiding and he shows up and he confronts King Ahab. And he says, let's have a showdown on Mount Carmel, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah versus me. 850 versus me. You prepare an altar, I'll prepare an altar. And the God who answers by fire, He is God. And you know the story. If you don't know the story, read 1 Kings 18. After a futile attempt, after hours of trying to get their God to answer, there's no answer. Elijah, with one brief prayer, whew, fire comes from heaven. Now before Elijah shows up, after the brook dries up, God sends him to Zarephath where he will meet a widow at the gate, and that's where you'll stay. Elijah shows up, the woman's gathering sticks, and he says, ma'am, would you get me a glass of water? Well, fine. She turns and heads back to the house. And he says, oh, by the way, would you bring me a piece of bread while you're getting me some water? She turns to him and says, as surely as God lives, I was gathering these sticks to bake one last piece of bread. Just have a handful of flour left and a little bit of oil left. And me and my son, we're going to eat and then die. And the prophet said, don't worry. God will provide. If you bring me a piece of bread, knowing and trusting that God will provide, then the flour will not run out and the oil will not go dry until rain once again falls on the land. And so she goes back to the house, takes the last little bit of flour, the last little bit of oil. She bakes him a piece of bread. She brings him the bread and water. Here you go. And on her way back, I could just picture her thinking, I wonder if, while she's baking that last piece of bread, her little boy was looking at her, Mommy, I'm hungry. Is that for me? No, son, it's for the prophet, but God will provide. She goes back to the house. She grabs the jar of flour. She opens it up and whew, maybe it begins to spray a little bit. It dusts a cloud of flour as she realizes it is now full. And she checks the oil and it is full. And her and her son probably had the largest meal that day than they had had in weeks. She had been rationing flour and oil so that it just evened out at the very end of the last little bit. But God provided, and she knew on that day, there was no doubt that God was going to provide for her through the doubt. Now God led Elijah. And as we consider this event in the Old Testament, there are some questions that I believe were asked and answered. And I just want to look at a couple of them. First one is this: is there a God? Is there a God? Here the woman, what did she say? As surely as God lives, this is going to be my last meal. But all takes place just as the prophet said. The prophet moves into the guest room upstairs. Her and her son live downstairs. But not long after the prophet moved in, the little boy got sick and he died. And she came to the prophet and said, why did this happen? Yes, the Lord provided all we need, and now you have brought this into my house. My son has died. And the prophet scoops up her son, takes him up the stairs, sprawls himself over the son and said, God, please restore his life into his body. He gets up, nothing. A second time, God, please restore life into his body. Still nothing. A third time, God, please restore life into this boy's body. And the boy takes a big breath as life entered back into his body. And the prophet took the boy to his mother. And if there was any doubt in her mind, if God is, they were erased on that day. Now let me ask you this. Do you have any doubts? Have you ever had any doubts? Have you ever wondered, is this all real? All these events recorded in the Bible, did they really happen? Did Jonah really get swallowed by a whale? Did Jesus die on the cross, be buried in a tomb, and then walk out of that grave 3 days later? Is there really a heaven? And when we lose somebody, we especially ask that question, is heaven real? Is this all real? And that's okay. It's natural to wonder, because it leads us to make a decision. I'm going to claim this on faith or I'm going to reject it. And it's at these times when we embrace it and say, yes, God is. But if you're here having questions and doubts, then pray this prayer. Lord, lead me to know that you are real. And I believe He will. God, reveal yourself to me. When you seek with an open, honest heart, you will find Him. But it takes an open, honest heart. Lord, lead me to know that you are real. And He will. This leads me to another question. Does God lead in tangible ways today? Absolutely. John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Romans 8, 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Joel Morgan planned on visiting missionaries in Eastern Europe. He was headed to Timișoara, Romania, to visit some missionaries. And he asked some of his friends that had been to Romania, what are some things that I should pack? And they said, well, you should pack some extra food items and some gifts for the missionaries. So Joel was walking through the grocery store and he said, Lord, lead me to the things I should buy. And as he was walking by some king-size Reese cups, he had this overwhelming urge that I should buy some of these. So he bought some Reese cups. And as he was walking up down the aisles, Lord, please lead me to what I should buy. He came across an aisle where there was some canned fruit. And he felt like, you know, I should buy some, had this urge to buy some canned fruit. And some mandarin oranges. In a can, and he bought the canned fruit. And in that same aisle, he noticed something he'd never noticed before, tapioca pudding. What's tapioca pudding? And he got to looking at it. But then he was prompted. He felt like a strong urge to buy the tapioca pudding. He never saw it before, but okay, well, he bought the tapioca pudding, put it in his cart, paid for it, and he packed his backpack with these items and some others. A week later, 4 days into the trip, 4,000 miles away, he was in the home of the missionaries. The husband, wife, and their two teenage daughters. And he said, you've been here for 6 months. Is there anything from the States that you've really missed? Any dessert items or any special treats? And one of the girls said, we've really missed the candy. Oh, yeah? Well, what kind of candy do you really like? And their mother spoke up and said, well, their favorite is Reese's peanut butter cups. And he reached in his bag and he pulled out the king-size package of Reese's peanut butter cups. And the girl's eyes got really big. He was just amazed himself. And he looked at their mother and father, and they looked with an air of surprise. And he looked at their mother and said, well, what is it that you miss? And she said, well, I miss the fruit that I used to eat regularly in the States. And he reached in and pulled in the can of mixed fruit and the mandarin oranges and container. She said, that is, wow, how did you know? And he said, I was just prompted to buy these things. And looked at the man, her husband, the father, missionary. How about you? What's your favorite dessert? He said, nobody in the world likes what I like. And there's no way you have this in your backpack. But my favorite dessert is tapioca pudding. And he just about knocked himself over, reaching into his bag to pull out the tapioca pudding. That they were all just so amazed on that day. That all their favorites, Joel, who had prayed, God, lead me to what I should take, that God led him. And the scripture verse that meant so much to them on that day came comes from Philippians 4:19, where it says, "My God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." And after that, there were about nine of them in the house, and worship broke out. They were just all just, it was just confirmation that God is, and that God was blessing their work in Romania. And for them, it was just such a special day that they couldn't help but respond and worship and thanksgiving to God. I want to take a moment and step away from the sermon, and I want to call Alyssa up here. We have next week on Sunday evening a night of worship. A night of worship. Worship is when we respond to God's grace and God's greatness and God's blessings. And so this idea and plan for now, night of worship, next Sunday night, originated with Alyssa. Well, it originated in the heart of God, and He led Alyssa to put this together. So tell us about what's taking place next week.
Right. So, next week, the doors will open at 5:30. It doesn't start till 6, and it'll go to 8, like a normal oxygen time. We're going to have plenty of worship songs, and then we're going to have three speakers. We're going to have Heather Ferguson from Compass, Kayla Broden, who goes here, and Jonathan Thayer, our youth minister, will be speaking for it. The main theme of the night is God is present. And then we'll have three lessons off of that, which is God sees you, God remembers you, and God understands you. We'll go through all of that. I think it's going to be a really fun night.
Now, how did this come about? How did this originate?
So we go to CIY every year. And so it was the last night. Jonathan had asked our small group, he's like, what is your next step? So as Christians, you know, we can't just get baptized and we're done. There's many steps after that that we have to follow. And I answered, I want my next step to be to lead some kind of night of worship, just because worship is a big part of my life, and I feel like I can do a lot in that area. And so we started planning it out, and we have now.
Mm-hmm. Alyssa, as you know, if you've heard her sing, has a beautiful voice. God has gifted their family with music and with a gift of singing. Alyssa is a worship leader. She leads worship at Grace School with the worship team, and they've worshiped and led worship in other avenues. She's part of our worship team here, the Oxygen Worship Band. And so the next step that she was led to put together is this night of worship. Now, what will make this night unique?
So it's really unique because it's youth-led. Our Oxygen Band will be performing for it. And it's a community. It's like completely for anyone to come. It's youth related, I guess, but we want parents, grandparents, my grandparents are going. I mean, we want everyone to come. So that makes it really unique.
All right. Well, the speakers are Heather Ferguson. She leads the students at Compass, and Kayla Broden, one of our students here, and Jonathan, our youth minister. So we have the three speaking. We have all this coming together. We don't want to bill it as a student worship. It's student-led worship, but for everyone. Our students are the next generation, the future generation. For some of us, it's more than the next generation. But we must encourage our students, the future generations, because they're growing up in a different time than we did, most of us. In a time where the world is becoming more antagonistic against the church, rather than just ambivalent and you can go, you don't have to go. Now it's becoming antagonistic toward the church. And fewer and fewer 18 to 29-year-olds are participating in the church. So it is important that we pass the baton well, that we encourage our students. They're not going to worship the same way we do. It's going to be a little different. And that's okay. And that's great as long as they are connecting with God. And so my encouragement to you is to come out next Sunday night and participate in a great night of worship in encouragement and support of future generations of leaders. Thank you, Alyssa, for putting this all together. Anything else you want to say about that night? Okay, all right. Well, great. Jonathan encouraged the students and challenged them to what's next? What is next? What is next for you? You see, God wants you to do something. He has gifted you. Pray this prayer, Lord, lead me to serve you right where you need me. Lord, lead me to serve you right where you need me. And He will. He has a way of doing that. We have been called to be His ambassadors here on earth. We are here given the ministry of reconciliation to connect people far from God to a God who loves them so much. And so in the same prayer, pray, Lord, lead me to someone far from you. And that's one prayer He will always answer, because that's the heart of God and the purpose of the church and His mission for us. Lord, lead me to someone who is far from you. And then you need to be willing to share your story or just to encourage with Scripture. Now here's our mission and our vision as we head into 2020. We will personally share and demonstrate the love of Jesus so that everyone has the opportunity to be saved. As a Christ follower, you have a job to do. We have a job to do as the church. We are an ambassador as the body of Christ collectively, as well as individually. We need to be encouragers. We need to be light. And God has gifted you for the church. Ephesians 4:11-12, and He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. God designed you specifically to serve in His church. Romans 12:4-6, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So this is as a part of our vision that we will personally, every one of us, share and demonstrate the love of Jesus so that everyone in our communities has the opportunity to be saved. We don't want anyone to be missed. As part of this vision, we are raising the expectation of 100% participation. 100%, because that's God's expectation. Jesus, who established His church, expects 100% participation. And you might be thinking, well, I don't get around that much. I don't get out that much. I'm pretty much stuck at home a lot. Well, there is still something for you. 100% participation. That's why we're going to need a lot of team leaders, ministry leaders and team leaders. For instance, a ministry of writing just a note of encouragement. Anyone can do that. You might be stuck at home, you don't get around much. So we need a team leader that would organize and lead this ministry of putting together, here's a package of notes of just a thank you to somebody. Write all these thank you notes to people for their service or those that just need to know we're praying for them. So here's a stack of envelopes. They're already addressed. They're stamped. Here are the note cards. If you would just take these home, or they can even be dropped at a shut-in's house, if you would write these notes of encouragement, we would appreciate that. And it's all ready. Just put it in, seal it up, drop it in the mail. There is something that everyone can do 100%. And that's what God expects. And when we don't do anything, then we're just disobeying God. 100%. And you might be new. You might say, well, if someone's here and they've been attending a few weeks, then our expectation, if you've been here more than 3 Sundays, then we'll have a job for you too. 100% participation. That's where we're working toward. That's what we're praying for. 100%. No spectators. Nobody just sitting back and riding. We want everybody doing something. And you have been gifted by God specifically for something. Now it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of people stepping up. And that's what we need. A custodian in the middle of Europe who cared for one of the big cathedrals. was going up the steps to check on the organ. They had a beautiful big organ, big pipe organ. The music just filled the room. And as he reached to the top of the steps and was headed toward the organ, he was surprised to hear footsteps behind him. It's one thing you don't like to hear in here when you're here at night and you're all by yourself. You hear doors shut or footsteps. You like to know when somebody else is in the building. Well, he turned around and he saw this man coming up the steps, and the man said, "Sir, can I look at the organ? I have traveled a long way just to see this beautiful organ I've heard about." He said, "Why, sure, you can come over and look at it." He said, "Would you open it up?" He said, "Oh, I don't know if I could open it up." He said, "Oh, I've come a long way. I'd really love to see it." He said, "Okay, but you can't touch anything." And he opened up the organ. He said, "Wow, that is a beautiful organ. Do you mind if I sit on the bench?" He said, "I don't know. Only the organist is allowed to sit on the bench and to touch the organ. I wouldn't want anything to get messed up." He said, I'll be careful. I've come a long way really just to see this organ." He said, "Okay, well, you can sit on the bench." So he sat on the bench. "You think I could play a few notes?" "No, absolutely not. Only the organist." He said, "Really, it won't hurt anything. I'm a musician myself, and I've played plenty of organs, and it'll be okay." "Well, okay." He looked around, make sure nobody's around. Okay, I'll let you play a few notes." He pulled a few stops, and he began to play on that organ the most beautiful music that custodian had ever heard played on that organ. And the man finished and began to walk away, and he felt like it wasn't long enough. He said, "Sir, who are you?" "Mendelssohn, sir. Felix Mendelssohn." And off he walked away. A very famous composer and accomplished musician of the 19th century. A master sat at the organ and played the most beautiful music he had ever heard. And to this, for years after that, and the words to this day that have been passed down from this custodian is this: "I almost prevented the master from creating a beautiful work in this cathedral." Lord, lead me to serve you right where you need me. For when we resist, when we just sit back, we're preventing the master from accomplishing his work in his kingdom. Heavenly Father, you've given us all a task in your church. And when we're too busy, or we think, "I don't have anything to give," or we're just comfortable sitting back, or shame on us for not asking and doing our part as leaders, equipping everyone for works of service. I pray, Father, that we would all repent, that we would work towards 100% active in the work of your church, creating a beautiful symphony of harmony and ministry, leading others to life change for eternity. We're limited by the lack of participation, and we hinder your work. So now, Father, as we pursue 100%, we want to fulfill your mission in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have a decision to make, why don't you come as we stand and sing.